are starting a new series for our time of Advent. It's called Down to Earth, and so it's a miraculous story with an all-star cast. And so I think it's easy for us, and just to kind of help bring it back, to kind of go in kind of automatic or neutral in our minds in Christmas time. We've heard these carols so many times. I have my top songs on the radio, Christmas songs, not carols, but Christmas songs that I hate. I know, isn't that awful? There's just a couple of them that are just annoying that you hear. And I think, could we either change the channel or just hold our breath till it's over? But I think the problem is for a lot of things, come on, you know there are some songs you don't like also. I know that. Don't act shocked and surprised. There's one about them getting drunk in the parking lot. Have you heard that song? That's a ridiculous song. I think, now what does that have to do with Christmas? What, I don't, anyway, you listen to it, you hear all those things. But it's easy for us to go in automatic when we come into this season because we've heard it so often and we've heard those things so many times. And so you just kind of sing them. You just participate and you don't think because your brain doesn't. You know, the more you see something, the less you see it. You know, that's kind of how it is. Like, you pass certain things and you've seen it so many times that it no longer kind of registers in your mind. And so, for me, the hardest sermon series that I produce or kind of work on and whatever are the familiar ones, Christmas and Easter. Those are the hardest ones because I want to figure out how can I say this in a way that going to make you not go into neutral and say, oh, yeah, we know that. And how can I make sure that the Holy Spirit can work through that to help us? And so what I'm trying to do during this one is focus on the characters that were a part of it in kind of a fresh way. I'm hoping that it'll give you some new thoughts in regard to it. And so as we talk about this one, we're going to talk about the angels as supporting characters and what that means and how God wants to work through that to help us kind of think about it a little bit differently. Because we sing about the angels, we talk about, but I want to make sure that we are understanding how significant this is as we look at this. The scripture is a part of the familiar passage. You know, the Christmas story is only told in two Gospels, right? The first one is Matthew. Okay, some of you are there. The first one is Matthew, good. And the second one is Luke, good. Yeah, you knew that. That was on the screen. Come on. You were so confident in that one. I thought, why are they so good on that one? So yeah, it's in two passages, just two Gospels. That's interesting because the death and resurrection are in all four Gospels. So maybe we should make sure we understand it. We give more attention to Easter than Christmas, right? As believers, because that's the most important season for us. Maybe twice as much emphasis. So let's read this together. Ready? Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us this morning. Help us to hear your voice, that we would better know your word, your truth, and how you want to speak to us. In Christ's name, amen. Some things that are a part of here. These angels are the armies of heaven. God created the greatest story ever. Now, as you think about this, think about creation, right? God created in the beginning, and this was a significant kind of thing. And so we have this. Now he's intervening and coming to earth. And now we're going to see another incredible creation. Now, if you think about how God brought about the initial creation and how significant that is as you look around us. And if you get to travel, my family got to travel to the Grand Canyon this summer, and it's the first time we've ever been. It was incredible. We just loved it. And as we stood there, there's something like magnificent. I've heard so many people say they cried when they were kind of there. But it's so magnificent because it kind of reminds me of the ocean. When you stand in front of the ocean, as far right as you look, there's water. As far left as you look, there's water. And as far out as you look, there's water. And you just go, wow. We did that at the Grand Canyon because as far to the right as I looked, there's the canyon, and to the left and out beyond. And it's just like, wow, God's creation is magnificent. Arizona is such an incredible state, like pretty much uninhabitable, but it's incredible to look at. We just thought it was just amazing and enjoyed it. Well, if God could create such incredible things like this, think about this creation of his son, how incredible this is in bringing this into existence. So God specifically picked each of the characters for this story. And so as we look at that, we go, wow. So, you know, it's not just like some kind of like thrown together. This was planned from Genesis. Actually before in God's mind, but we see scripture in Genesis that tells us that this was going to come to happen as far back as that. That's the prophecies that were spoken in that regard. So each character had a special significance, and there are no accidents in God's plan. So, you know, God didn't just say, oh, like, how should we do this? I don't know. Let's get a bunch of angels and, oh, I don't know. Let's put a shepherd and let's just figure out a few more things to kind of make it like significant. How about a star? Yeah, that'd be great. No, everything was specifically planned. So he had this incredible plan that he was pulling together, and there's no like accidental piece in this story. Everyone was picked specifically for this. Now, if God's original creation was spectacular, imagine his plan for the redemption of mankind. I mean, this is incredible. He knew from the very beginning of creation and before, he knew that this was going to be needed, that redemption was going to have to come. And so because of that, the incredible creation that is before us, every detail was part of the plan with a prophetic fulfillment, and every detail had deeper meaning. So nothing was, you know, like by accident, nothing was just kind of put out there. Like God chose each of these characters. He chose each person who was a part of this because there was a deeper meaning and there's a deeper understanding. So this is history, his story of love for all mankind. And this is how much. When we did the story, we worked through that series, if you'll remember that. When we worked through that, one of the things that kept coming to me over and over was God's incredible love for us and his desperate search for man and his desperate kinds of opportunities of reaching us and bringing us into a relationship with him. Well, that's what this is all about, and this is why it's so significant. Now, I want to give you an angel quiz because I want to find out how much you know about this, and I'm going to go through this very quickly, but what does the word angel mean? Does anybody know quickly? Okay, good, messenger. When were angels created? Yes, before the beginning. So we would see that before. We would know that it actually happened before that. And is God making any more angels? Nope, he's out of business. Could you meet an angel and not know it? Good. Do angels marry? Good. Are demons and angels the same? Okay. Who is freed from prison by an angel? Aha, over here, Peter. Good. Can angels be trusted? What does Scripture say? Don't even, the angel tells you, don't even believe it if it's contrary. Aha. Are all angels the same? Good, okay. Are there good angels and evil angels? Yes. Do angels have wings? Some do. All angels? No, okay. Do angels fly with those wings? Some do, okay. Are angels omniscient? No, okay. How many angels are there? Over 100 million. We can't number them. Do angels have names? Yes, good, okay. Do angels have specific jobs? Yes, okay. Do angels have a language? If I speak in the tongues of men and of... okay. Are angels male or female? Yes, okay. Neither. Are angels limited in whom they can help? We'll talk about that. Do we really have a guardian angel? Yes, okay, more than one. Our angels are not feminine creatures. Angels are not saints who have died. You don't become an angel. Would you just stop doing that? My father is not an angel. Just to let you know, he's in heaven. I have no doubt about it at all. But God created angels, and we don't become angels when we die. God created angels for a specific call and purpose. You may think the person you live with is like an angel. Okay, angels are not saints who have died. Let's go on. Angels are not all good. Yes, we do know that. Angels are not all alike. Angels do not have halos. Oh, does that disappoint you? Sorry. Angels do not reproduce. Angels do not possess human bodies, but become visible as necessary. Angels are not funny-looking little chubby red-faced babies with wings. You knew that, right? Okay. Angels are not going to die, so they are ageless. Angels are not emotionless robots without freedom of choice. Angels do not obey man and cannot intercede in prayer. That's God's work, Jesus. Angels are not to be worshipped. Let's go on. Letter B. The angels were selected to help tell this grand story. So I wanted you to understand them a little bit better because of how significant this is in this whole process. So angels are God's messengers to fulfill his purpose and his will. That's their job. Because here's what Scripture says. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. So does that restrict who they care for? I don't know how many of you have seen an angel. How many of you think you have seen an angel? Wow, okay. I think I've experienced that actually a couple times and obviously they didn't say, I'm an angel, so I don't know for sure. And some people see into the spirit world. I do not. That's not a gift. Actually, I've heard some people say that it's a gift they wish they could give back because it's not always pleasant. But I've heard people talk, and I trust them, and I believe that God has given them that opportunity for a specific purpose and reason, for sure. Angels are superhuman in knowledge and power, but possessing intelligence and will. They're superhuman in power, okay? Here's Scripture says, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven. So they don't know everything. They're not omniscient. But the angels who are far greater in power... And strength. So they're far greater in power and strength. Do not dare to bring from the Lord a charge of blasphemy against those supernatural beings. Okay. Angels have levels of power and authority. So here's their different kinds of angels: cherubim, protect and defend. The seraphim, they have six wings. Okay, so some of them do have wings, not all of them. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood and enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, evil, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So there's different levels that are talked about. Actually, angels are talked about 196 times in Scripture, 103 in the Old Testament, and 93 in the New Testament. So enough times that God would help us to want to know more about it. In fact, there's even a doctrine of angelology that is the study of angels to help us to understand more about them and why. Angels are beyond our ability to number them. We know this much. I looked again, heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne of the living beings. It says 10,000 times 10,000. So we know over 100 million and beyond. And we know that a third of them left heaven to go to follow Satan. And so a third of them. So that, here's the good news. You have twice as many good angels as demons. So there's power around you. See, they're all around us. Like, it's everywhere. So there's power around us to overcome anything. So you don't have to be intimidated or fearful of the enemy, because God is greater. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Angels have names. Michael, for example, we don't know all their names. Commander-in-chief, Gabriel, mighty one, heaven's telegram bearer. So most times he kind of brought the news. It was kind of, oh, who should we send? Oh, send Gabriel. There's no Clarence. Okay, see, good for you, good for you. You know, it's a wonderful life. That's one of my favorites. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. But even Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. Okay, angels will not reproduce, die, and nor will be more be created. So for when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In this respect, we'll be like the angels in heaven. Be like them. You won't be them. You won't be angels, but you'll be like them. And so that's what it tells us. And they will never die again. In this respect, they'll be like angels. Angels reveal and communicate God's message to man. So that's their job. And so we know that they're going to come and continue to bring that message. That's what Scripture says. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm. Every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. Angels minister to believers in protection and of both spiritual and physical needs. And so that's how we get this guardian angel thing. I don't think there's one specific guardian angel. There's no place in Scripture that tells us that. But we do know, you probably some of you need a whole lot more guardian angels than others. I know that's, my wife would say that's true in my life. If there's something that can go wrong, it seems to happen. So I think I keep them pretty busy. I'm just saying. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. See, that's where it comes from. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. So, yes, they do guard us. Angels witness our salvation. This is pretty cool. In the same way, there's joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. So look at that giant party over there on the wall. And so that's what we celebrate as well, because obviously that's what Scripture tells us. Angels witness our names being written in the book of life. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Angels witness our confession or denial of him. I tell you the truth, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, the Son of Man will also acknowledge in the presence of God's angels. Anyone who denies me here on earth will be denied before God's angels. And angels witness our lives in Christ. And so instead, I sometimes think God has put us apostles on display like prisoners of war at the end of victor's parade, condemned to die. We have become a spectacle to the entire world, to people and angels alike. Angels glorify God and will accompany the Lord at his second coming. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. And angels remain hidden except on occasion when our eyes are open to see them. And so here's what we know. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. And so there is the message that is given to us that we can be able to see. Now, angels surrounded the birth of Christ. And so we know that. And so that was a huge kind of thing that was a part of it. First, an angel appeared to Zacharias. Now, if you'll notice in Scripture, angels particularly are around the birth of Christ and the death of Christ. There's kind of more that happens there as far as angel appearances and angel work. And then a little bit in the early part of the Gospel or the book of Acts, but then it kind of fades. So we don't see them as forefront as then. But they're still there. It's still happening. While Zacharias was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing in the right of the incense altar. And so remember Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, he then was what? What happened to him? Couldn't speak, right? He couldn't speak after that. And so we know that until the birth of John, when that happened, an angel appeared to Mary. So we know that. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel, there's the name, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And so we know that that happened. An angel appeared to Joseph. Okay, so yes, you're following along with this. You're kind of seeing how each one, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Certainly pretty amazing. An angel appeared to the shepherds. Now, I don't know in Scripture if any other time that they had a host of angels. Most of the times in Scriptures, it was one or a few, but this was a host. We don't even know how many. Hosts could be hundreds and hundreds of angels. It lit up the field. We know suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I will bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." And later on, he calls it a host of angels. And so we know they were surrounded by this. This was phenomenal. This is like really exciting news. These angels were one of the most significant characters in his story of redemption. And so what do we see? The angels were following God's bidding to announce the good news to each of these Christmas characters. So that was one of the things, how God was using them. The angels were celebrating in the birth as it would be the beginning of witnessing salvation story that they would celebrate over and over and over. It's no wonder that the angels celebrate in heaven when someone comes to Christ and gives their heart to Jesus, because they were all part of that early celebration in the very beginning to say, yes, this is what's going to happen. We're a part of this, and we get to celebrate in this. The angels were following God's leadership and orchestrating the greatest announcement of all mankind. So God sent them to be able to make sure this would happen. The angels were a reminder to all of us of the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in Zacharias, in Elizabeth, in Mary, and Joseph, and the good news of the shepherds, and of the miracle to come for every one of us. Angels are servants of God that assist him in carrying out his plans and purposes. The word angel actually comes from the Greek word agelios, which means messenger. So that's what they really are for us. As you prepare for Christmas, you know why they stick the angel on the top of the Christmas tree? Because that is the ultimate in the announcement of Christ's birth. And so it was begun a long time ago as kind of a tradition that they would do. So whenever you look at that angel on the top of the tree, remember God's announcement of salvation to all of us. What a great, great thing. Remember to keep focused on what is the most important part of this season. Don't get lost in all the details and all the whatevers. keep focused because it's really important. Think of ways to share this good news with others. Thinking about the fact bringing clean water to the world. Do random acts of Christmas. Those are ways that we can remind people that God is alive. He is still working in ways. Amidst the gift giving and receiving, don't lose sight of why we celebrate. So do something consciously to remind yourself that, wow, the reason we're doing this. Give thanks for the supernatural gift that has changed our eternity. Because of Jesus, I know where I'm going when I die. You heard that in Sharon Fogle's testimony and Don. He's at peace no matter what happens and where God takes him. That's what God wants for every one of us, that we can be totally at peace, knowing. Billy Graham says this, when my time comes to die, an angel will be there to comfort me. He'll give me peace and joy even at the most critical hour and usher me into the presence of God. And I will dwell with the Lord forever. Thank God for the ministry of his blessed angels. And, amen. Yeah. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that incredible announcement that was made by the angels that told us of the redemption of mankind was now made through Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for salvation and for new life. Thank you for what you're going to do in each of our lives. Keep us focused on that, Lord. Let us not get lost in all the Christmas shopping and the hustle and bustle, but let us use it as an opportunity to remind our world of really the real reason for this season. In Christ's name, amen. God bless and go with you.